Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. We've been trying to call in, but we always fall asleep.
You know, I'm with you on that one. I'm really tired right now, too, but I'm sticking it out.
Yay, new people.
We have to
Hey.
Do our duty. Okay.
Yay, new people. Yay.
Yay.
Oh, Terry's gone again, but she'll call in. Okay. So I'll give a little recap. So the episode starts with a flashback. We get Shane in the hospital. He's visiting a comatose Rick. And the halls are overrun with these military dudes, and they're basically blowing away people. They're shooting innocent civilians. He tries to take Rick out of there, but he can't. He doesn't really understand how the machine that he's hooked up to works. And the machine shuts off. Shane tries to listen for his heartbeat and doesn't hear anything. But he ends up abandoning Rick and puts this gurney on the line. What did you guys think of? He blocks the door with a gurney as if that's going to prevent
It worked. I think this was like a... To me, this was a fail of just trying to redeem a character that they're going, people don't like this guy because he's banging this guy's wife and he's supposed to be friends with him and he told her he was dead. Let's give a backstory that makes him look like he was heroic and he really did think he was dead. Inexplicably, he has no heartbeat, amazingly, but then he's actually alive for a month. It was just like, that whole scene was just killing me. I was like, we're trying to make this guy into a good guy after the fact to keep the story going. That's my take on it.
Hmm.
Well, I think that no heartbeat thing, it showed up in a lot of blog posts afterwards. I hope it's not a red herring. I think that would be interesting, like a mutated strain of the zombie virus. You know, you're undead, but you just don't see people. Yeah, wouldn't that be interesting?
Because you remember, do you remember when Carl said nothing has killed him yet? He's dead.
Are you saying that when Jenner pulls him aside and says, it gives him a little secret, it says,
you're dead.
Yes.
You got the virus, bro.
Holy shit. Wow. That would be awesome if any of that was true, but you guys are giving those writers way too much credit, I think. That both of those things would be awesome if that's what happened.
Yeah. Well, otherwise, I didn't think it actually made Shane look good. I thought it made him look stupid because it was like he saw, oh, the lights and the electricity are out. Oh, the guy must be dead. And I don't know. You don't necessarily. He never checked the guy's wrist or his neck, for example. All he did was put his head to his chest.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say, Terry. I think that he's under tremendous duress. He has the military in the hallway shooting anyone who is not the military. And the only reason they're doing it is because they think if they shoot the non-military, then all the zombies will be killed. Sure, they might get a whole bunch of other collateral damage, but who cares? So here he is under tremendous pressure. He can't hear the heartbeat, but he doesn't really have his head there very, very long to hear it, and he has no other test that he uses. I don't know. I disagree this is a fail. I think this is an adequate redemption of a character who, under serious duress, could not find a reason to report that his partner, his former partner, was alive later on.
I feel like he would have been like, I tried to listen to a heart, but I was like under a lot of pressure and I couldn't hear a heart, but he could still be alive. Don't let the hope die.
You can't hear the heart because there's gunfire going out in the hallway, okay?
Maybe
you can't
hear
the heart
that to the wife. He's just like, hey, listen, wife. I tried. I really didn't hear one, but we should probably just start getting it on now anyway. I mean, he's probably dead.
I can't hear a heart because my own heart is racing so fast in my eardrums.
You guys are forgetting one small detail. This is a police officer. I think he knows how to check for a heartbeat on a dud.
He's not EMT. Police, not EMT.
You know what? I have to agree with that. He's a rural police officer, too. It's not like he's, like, in downtown Chicago with shit going down all the time.
Thank you. Exactly.
So I think it's...
He's from Georgia.
I would disagree that it's an inadequate
Redemption. I felt like it was a fail, like a after the fact kind of thing. But
you mean before the fact? Isn't this
well,
to soften the
yeah,
future
well,
rape?
Like, it's like when you write a prequel.
Yes.
Okay, so let's continue on. You guys said nothing about the gurney in front of the door as a way of blocking the zombies.
The gurney was awesome. I love the gurney. The gurney is my favorite method of blocking a door from zombies now. I want to use a gurney all the time. And no one saw them. Whoever put the gurney there, and you didn't see him, but I'm pretty sure that he blocked the gurney by flipping the lock with his foot on the gurney's wheel so the gurney wouldn't move anymore.
But of course, it can't be true because when we saw Rick stumbling out of the room, a little weak shove against the gurney and it was gone. And you noticed the door opened in too, so
and
I don't know.
And
that's
zombies,
what happens with prequels. You
yeah.
Zombies had details that weren't there.
Zombies will not respond to the sock on the doorway of the hall of the hospital room. Zombies don't care.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah,
okay, yeah. So we continue on. We're back at the CDC. Dr. Jenner, Edwin, I believe is his name, lets them in, and he warns them that he says, once those doors are closed, they're not going to be opened again. I don't think he really warns them quite as forcefully as he should have, but he does say it, and then he makes everybody submit to a blood test.
Yeah.
Just to be certain that they're not zombies. Because he's just all he must have all the time in the world that he could just say.
Yeah, there must be.
Okay,
must
everyone.
Be like planning to live out his days there, because he's really
yeah.
worried. Like, there's no way that place is going to blow up anytime soon because he's like really worried about other people infecting him.
I know. It's just it must have been such an important point on his mind there that he had to give everyone a blood test.
It's weirdly set up. It's a lame excuse for later set up. What? Yeah. Something obviously will come of this blood test. If it's the Rick is dead theory, which kicks ass, I don't know. But it's my theory that one of them is that she's pregnant. His wife is pregnant. I think that's the only reason to do a blood test.
But the blood samples are bad. They're destroyed. They're incinerated. So how could that have any future in the story?
No, that's the you're saying that was the secret, right?
I'm saying that's what he whispered.
That's a good one.
Your wife is
that
pregnant.
That was a good one, too.
I think the only reason the blood test existed was to pay it off next season. Like, something happened there. Some information was passed. But I would much prefer Rick as a zombie. That would be awesome.
What if he said your friend tried to... I walked in on your friend trying to...
I think he whispered, "I'm batshit crazy," because he's shown us two episodes. For the last episode, he was batshit crazy by staring into the webcam. With a big face. He's absolutely crazy.
Your underwear is sticking out back of your pants.
That's right, and you have toilet paper stuck on your foot.
Your fly is open.
Wearing your police outfit. The world is over. You're not a cop anymore, dude.
And oh my god, man, your breath. Oh my god, your breath.
That's great ideas. We'll have to tune in next season to fix. By the way, this is one of my three things that I hated about the episode. Let's have one character tell a secret to another.
It's so weak.
Just so we can spend our whole summer hiatus, whatever we're on right now, trying to figure out what that secret was. I did it before and lost. I'm not going to do it again. You guys suck. I hate this kind of crap.
Okay, Bill, if we have to spend our whole summer, we have to go to a different hemisphere, dude. Because summer's going to happen here for a while.
Well, guess what? We got 10 months to go, so there will be a summer between there.
Yeah, now, like I'm starting to appreciate. This is the first show, and I don't know how long that Zach and I have been following as it's playing. And I have to say, a lot of value in just being like completely clueless for years on end, and then just watching that shit all in a row in a month's time.
The best way to watch a show is all in one weekend.
This is what happens when they only get a guarantee of 6 episodes, and they wait until episode 4 to get up for the next season. I mean, there's no way this show is not the same if they know they're gonna have another season after this.
Yeah. Maybe it was supposed to blow up everyone, but they renewed the season, so you guys have to leave.
That's a good point. If this show had been a total Rubicon type dud, that would have been the worst 6 episodes ever. There's absolutely zero resolution.
Thank you for calling your Rubicon a dud too. Oh, you're my hero for that.
Oh, that show killed me. Okay. Now we're back. Okay. If there's anything that you can learn from Walking Dead, it's that a hot shower is a really important thing to have when you're in a zombie apocalypse, because they hit the showers again as they did in episode 1. And everyone's we do the around the horn in the showers. We got Lori
drinking in the shower.
Yeah. Shane's got the bottle.
It's so stupid.
I was like, oh, that's so awesome, but I felt like the actors were not getting into it enough. Like, they should have been throwing themselves all around the shower, like, oh, God! Like, it's a little bit believable, their acting.
Well, and there was far too little soaping in the showers, too.
I think conserving.
And very few people joining each other in the showers.
True. Could have been more of that.
Skinner was again making it clear that there's no way, like, that this place was going to be there for a long time, because he was like, go easy on the hot water. You know, like,
yeah.
He wanted to conserve that hot water for a long time.
Yeah.
No, why didn't he just say, hey, go hog wild?
Take the longest shower you want. Go have a big orgy, because I'm going to kill everyone in about 12 hours.
Okay, so... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Bryn.
Oh, I was just saying hot. That's all.
Oh, okay. So we hit the dinner table. They're drinking wine. Little Carl even gets a little nip of the wine.
Carl.
And Carl.
Terrible.
Okay. So did you have any comments about the round the table there as they're having it? Our heroes are finally having a little bit of a light moment in this horrible ordeal.
I like them a lot better depressed than I do like having a good time.
Actually, I agree, but I have another question. Why were they so hungry? Because they went back into Atlanta, correct? Wasn't Atlanta where they were going in and getting food and cans and stuff on a regular basis? And I kind of had to believe that there was zero food or convenience or whatever between, trucks to the CDC.
Right. Terry, I can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Terry, you sound like the teacher from the Charlie Brown episode.
Exactly.
Like the teacher from the Peanuts?
Yeah. Something about a convenience store. That's all I heard.
Oh, okay. Now, does it sound better now?
A little bit.
Jeez,
go ahead. Do you have the phone in your mouth?
It's in her mouth.
I'm trying to say that I can't figure out why they were hungry.
Why they were hungry or weren't hungry?
Well, they were. They had to have found food on their way to CDC.
They had all those fish they caught in the reservoir.
Yeah.
Well, and abandoned convenience stores, abandoned gas stations. I mean, unless I misunderstand where the CDC is, I thought it was in the city.
Yeah, I don't think they would have been hungry either. Good point. Okay.
They have canned goods or what?
Huh? So
they didn't have canned goods or anything with them on their, like, journey there?
I don't know. Okay, so then we have this Lorian Shane action.
Whoa. One moment at the end of the dinner party.
Yes.
Where the former pizza delivery guy identifies the CDC guy as a buzzkill.
Oh.
And I thought that was telegraphing for later on. I don't know if anybody else picked that up.
Oh, well, I thought he was saying that Shane was the buzzkill.
No, because Shane asked the question. But our friend from the CDC talked about the suicides and all the other yada yada, which I mean, my mother taught me that suicides were not proper dinner conversation.
I don't know. I don't understand Jenner's whole motivation through the whole. I don't know if you want to get into it right now, but in a real world, I think Jenner would have just like said, "What's up? Hey, this thing is going to blow up in about 10 hours. Yuck it up now, but you guys are going to have to get out of here."
Yeah.
What is the point? What is the point? I mean, what is the point for deciding the fate of 10 people?
Jenner was gone before they showed up, and he was going to do this on this time clock. The only reason it happened at this moment was the clock was driving Jenner, not anything else. If they had not shown up, Jenner would have done exactly the same thing had they shown up or not shown up.
And I think he was going a little insane in the membrane, too.
Oh. I still don't understand why he has to take
these out.
Why does he got to take these 10 people down with him?
Because Jenner is on the clock. He's going to behave exactly the same way he knew well in advance what he was going to do. I don't want to jump ahead in the episode, but I'm pretty sure Jenner knew. I mean, if you look at Jenner's face in the webcam last episode, it was pretty clear that guy has a tunnel vision. He knows what he's going to do. He's going to do it anyway.
He warned them that, like, you know, you come in, you stay, or whatever his warning was. But I think he's just obviously really depressed, and, like, he thinks, well, if it doesn't happen in here, it's going to happen elsewhere, so it doesn't really matter. Like, you're going to die. You're going to become a zombie. You're just, everything's shit. Everything's gone to shit. So what's the point?
I do think he keeps hanging his hat on this thing where he says, I did tell you guys that this was going to close. The door was going to...
But how could
any of them think that was actually going to happen, that they were all going to get locked in there?
But plus,
that's not fair.
And by the way, do I sound better now? I changed how I'm doing. Okay.
You sound a lot better.
Well, so one of the things that when he said that, the response that Rick said is, we just want a chance. You know, we just need a chance. And so clearly that Rick's group is communicating, we want a chance to live. So I think that the guy, it's just bullshit him saying, hey, I told you up front. Because they also told him up front what they wanted. And he clearly chose to ignore it. But I agree, he's insane. He was insane. Okay.
He's got a position like Hal did in 2001.
Don't bring up
he
Hal.
He will not open the pod doors. There's no way he's opening the pod doors.
Right. Don't bring up disembodied voices in a movie, because that's my second. This is the second faltering of this fucking show.
For going there. Well, what was her name? What was the computer's name?
Vi.
What?
V-I-E.
Yeah.
Is that just like the next letters after Hal?
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
you guys suck.
I love that.
It's like
mother. It's like mother, an alien.
Yeah, exactly. I just really...
Okay,
really
we're jumping ahead. Let's jump back to the attempted rape scene.
Mm-hmm.
You guys want to comment on that at all?
Where did that come from?
And Gene.
You mean in terms of the quality of the attempt?
It wasn't surprising. If that's, you know, my reaction was, I wasn't surprised.
He was totally drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about, can you comment on the fact that old Lori gives him the scratch at the end of the, that's how she basically wards him off, but then I think, Zach, you brought this up earlier today, that the rest of the bunch really don't even have any kind of much of a reaction to his scratch at the breakfast table.
They're like, well, shit, what's that scratch? I did it in my sleep.
I did it in my sleep.
Wouldn't they be basically going ape shit on that guy?
What?
I think they would pretty much be going ape shit on him with any sort of scratch. What the hell is going on with him?
Oh, thinking it might have happened by a zombie or something. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, if a jet shows up, like, all of a sudden, you'd be like, what the fuck? No, dude, you're going to tell us where that came from. Instead, they're just like, oh, you did that in your sleep? Okay. Well, kind of weird, but oh, well.
Never did that before. Oh, well. Pass the eggs.
You know, I watched the marathon that was leading up to it on Sunday, it reminded me once again how good that first episode was, and that none of these episodes have matched the quality of that first one. Mm. Partly just plain logic. It was the most logical and therefore the scariest episode of all. This last one, I don't know.
I agree with you. I think the last two are really hurting.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody, next morning, they basically says, what's his name, Dale, says, hey, you got to tell us what's up.
Okay, you skip something again.
Okay,
yeah,
what did I
skip? Rick
you
drunk.
You skip the old man and Andrea.
And Rick drunk, too.
Well, yeah, the old man and Andrea is, you know, on the he's praying to the porcelain god. And
oh, yeah.
Exactly, and he has to walk in and say, what's going on?
Right. Now, my question
was
I thought that was more touching than I would have expected from just an offshoot of a hallway scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm
not going to comment on that because I know something about that from the comic book, but I won't say.
Well, yeah, I do too, but I'm not commenting either.
Shut up. You've already said too much.
No, what? We said too much? There is a comic book? We've said too much?
No. Now I know there's some secret
I'm sorry.
There.
Spoiler alert. There's a comic book.
Damn it.
Okay, now, back to her throwing up. I mean, do you think there's anything, it's signaling anything important there?
It's an excellent question.
Ask Bill. He'll tell you.
Ask Bill. Okay, what Bill?
What?
Is
that what you're referring to?
Is he sick?
No. That's not what I was referring to.
No,
I think that you're supposed to think that possibly that Andrea is pregnant, but I don't believe that's the case.
No.
I believe that she just ate too much and got drunk, and you know what? That's what happens when people eat too much and drink. There's nothing
that scene,
to read
that into. That scene was simply there to establish this tight friendship between her and the old man. To pay off at the end. That's all it was.
Yeah, I got to agree. They've been doing that over and over in this show, creating these little scenes just so that 30 minutes later they can do something and make it be believable. Yeah.
Right. But the worst one was the sisters talking about fishing.
I agree. I totally agree.
That was the worst one. That was absolutely ridiculous.
So it's almost like if two people spend time getting to know each other, then 30 minutes later they're going to die. Something's going to happen.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly
yeah.
what it is.
Okay.
Like, their whole, you know, whatever his, like, empathy or sympathy for her, I just wasn't digging it simply because I think he's a really good actor. And that girl, the Andrea character, I just hate her guts. Like, her acting just, the two of them looking at each other. This is nauseating, which just sucks.
Really?
Don't
hold back.
Don't hold back on that one, Bryn.
That's what you really think.
Yeah, no. She needs to, like, disappear.
She was pretty mad that she didn't stay.
Yeah, I was hoping she'd be blown up. I was like, sweet, move on.
Okay, next morning. We're going to get the rundown on test subject 19.
Yeah.
We get the whole thing, the x-ray vision of how the zombie gets made, the brainstem gets infected, some meningitis dealio, ending with a shot to the head. I got to say, even though it was like pseudoscience and fakey looking thing up on the board, there's something about that whole sequence that I liked. What'd you guys think?
I liked it. Agreed.
I liked it.
Huh?
I thought well, both Zach and I were agreeing that we liked it too. I mean, I think it was kind of it was pretty sweet that you could see the transformation happening from like a like you said, pseudoscience like level, but like to see her like body there and know that it was something sentimental to him, you know, and he was spending time with this person and watching them transform, and then seeing them, you could actually see her mouth moving when she was turning. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I think that
it's also kind of creepy. It's kind of creepy too if you think about it retroactively that he's like sort of getting off on being the scientist at that point, like, you know, ooh, this is the signs of life and the lights of your brain. But then he's talking about his wife, which is crazy. So,
do they realize that that's his wife right then, or is that later?
No, not then. But thinking back on it, that's a creepy scene.
Yeah.
The way the guy is.
Okay.
Well, I don't know about getting off, but he has the appropriate distance. And it was interesting follow on to the previous episode, because in the previous episode we learned how a real person in real time would experience the transformation from a dead person to a zombie, because we had one sister watching the other sister die and go away and then come back as a zombie. And here we have a different perspective on the same thing, which is more of a scientific perspective, not a real-time human perspective.
Right.
I just thought it seemed like he was enjoying teaching at that point. He sort of was smiling as he was talking about it.
But again, like you said, looking back, he knows he's going to lock them all in and blow them all the hell up.
Right.
Well, I think also we learned two important pieces of information. One was that there is nothing of the original personality left in the zombie, even in the first moments of life. And we had this, remember we debated this last time, saying, well, was there a moment where the sister sort of recognized? No. And the other is that, you remember what he said about how long it takes for the transformation to happen?
Could be 3 minutes, could be 25 minutes,
So, which now gives the writers leeway to do whatever they want. So we think we know what the pattern is, and now there is no pattern. So if it serves the plot, they can have someone turn in 3 minutes. They could have someone turn in a day.
Very, very good point, Terry.
Is such an excellent observation, because the Gooches out there would be measuring every zombie turn in the time span of Amy.
Oh, and we have DVRs
now.
We can measure everything. Yeah.
That's an excellent point.
From the very first episode when he gets in the tank and a zombie guy's there and just suddenly wakes up right then. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
If we're gonna flash back to the first episode, who loves the grenade? Yes.
Yeah, baby.
Grenade was awesome.
Dude, hatred.
And it's not just a grenade. It's a grenade I found in your pants when I wore
it.
I was doing the laundry.
I was doing the laundry.
Oh, that was a groaner.
That was my second hatred of.
Oh, I was throwing this grenade in my asshole. Let me just grab it really quick.
Is that a grenade in your pants, or are you happy to see me?
Oh. That is so perfect.
I was terrible.
Okay. We got the big kicker right here. Dale says, hey, I know you've had a rough day, but I got to ask you about what's up with this countdown clock in the background here that's counting down to zero. What the F is going to happen when it gets to zero? What?
Exactly 1 hour.
By the way.
Why did it take so long to ask? Oh, God.
It's only a giant letter, giant red numbers in the sky, and no one's wondering, like, what is this?
Oh, man.
Did you guys notice when they were showing clips of the countdown that sometimes they would go off and then they would go back and it would be more time than the time to stop before?
Really?
I was like, just don't show the damn timer in the background. Just put that off to the side.
whoever wrote that needs to be kicked off the show immediately. That is the most hackery piece of crap storyline thing I've ever seen. Hey, we need some suspense. Let's throw a clock in there. Why don't they just go watch Lost again and copy off that? Or it's terrible. I just got to say.
A clock with 1 hour. That's the best. Hey, what's that clock? It's counting down with 1 hour left. Oh, that's when we're all going to die. Thanks for asking. If you hadn't asked, it wouldn't have counted down, and I never would have mentioned
it. And did I understand it right that the clock was counting down based on how much fuel was left to run everything? So theoretically, then, the making of the meals and the hot showers and everything sped up how fast the clock counted down? Does that sound right?
That seems right to me.
God.
That might have been why he was warning him off about the hot showers. Okay?
Yeah.
Cold showers. And really, and this is true in real life, cold showers are better for everyone.
Okay.
It will only expedite your certain doom.
I'm grateful the guy didn't say, I mean, they missed the opportunity to have him say, I told you not to take long showers.
What I loved is when the clock switched to the big screen, it was at 30 minutes exactly. Watch it. I'm telling you, 30 minutes exactly.
So precise. Okay, so our heroes learn that when that what do they actually learn? The whole place is going to explode. Air is going to catch on fire. In a millisecond, they'll all be basically vaporized.
And their host is batshit crazy.
Yeah.
Was anybody somewhat annoyed that the guy was like, "This is the second strongest bomb in the world, next to nuclear power," and then they can only be 50 yards away and not have any damage whatsoever.
Oh, it must have been one hell of a
there.
Yeah, the sandbags, exactly.
There were sandbags.
Ridiculous.
It's a really big jump though from this to nuclear. It's like, you know, it's the second, but it's just like a way bigger difference.
Yeah, obviously.
It's meant to do the most damage to humans and structures. But apparently it can't kill an old guy and a woman running away.
The comparison, that's his own idea of how strong the bomb is. The bomb isn't really that strong. That's his own perception. He's been there a long time. Again, he's batshit crazy, people.
Are you on the writing team? This sounds like justification.
Well, I gotta say, I was kind of PO'd because I was like, all right, you guys are going to die anyway. What's the point? Like, there's no way you could get, you know, an hour away or 2 hours away in 30 minutes, so you're dead. Just fuck it up.
At least the rubber on their tires would have been melted from the heat.
Often,
the problem is...
I'm like, disintegrating Earth underneath them as they're driving away. How about that shit? Something like that.
The problem is not the strength of the bomb. The problem is that they have only 25 minutes until this episode's end and maybe the entire series ends, so they have to tie up a few things. And they can't include Merle.
Oh, God, Merle.
Where the F
I mentioned Merle. I'm sorry. I did not mean to mention Merle, but I mentioned Merle.
It's a good point because I feel like the writers in episode – 2 promised me a one-handed redneck vengeance.
There's a one-armed man, much like the fugitive. There's a one-armed man.
Yeah.
He'll be there. You just
he'll come back. He'll tide you over till next year.
Listen, just buy the DVDs. Buy the DVDs this summer. Get the Bob Dylan song from iTunes tonight. It'll carry you through. What?
Merle is following them in the truck.
Yeah, next year they're going to be like, with the new episode, Merle will be like, I've been following you for 3 months. In this abandoned world with no other sounds, you haven't heard my truck.
I'll put money on it.
Merle has switched trucks, so you don't know which truck it is.
Okay, so they go in the basement and they look at these gas drums or whatever they were, just realize, they're empty. The place is don't ask me why the power to the whole place is in these drums in the basement, but whatever.
And why they have gas tank hoses going into them.
They use that technology on creating a talking computer that can understand the human voice and answer questions. So they're like, "Hey, what should we do with the power system? And I just use these gas machines." We use all our budget on making the talking computer.
Oh, we so need a talking computer that says "fuck if I know."
Remember.
I'm sorry, Bill. Is this a family podcast?
Yeah, of course, we're all family.
Oh my gosh!
Remember that this place runs on fossil fuels. How stupid is that?
Right.
Just to point out how stupid we are. Let me ask you this:
the planet runs on fossil fuels.
What is this nod to the French that they throw in there? The French stuck it out. Is that some kind of reference to something? I don't know.
That's a frog fries thing, dude.
That's where they're going to go next season.
They didn't quit like the rest of these stupid Americans. They stayed in there trying to figure the shit out.
Maybe the French Canadians can just drive up to Canada.
Weren't the French the ones that were bitching recently about the retirement age getting raised?
I think so. Those dudes are tough.
Yeah, they quit twice before, but they did not quit this time.
Touché.
Yes.
Touché. Nicely done.
Okay. So they're like, "We got to get the F out of here." What's his name? Merle's brother's banging on the door with an axe. They're going to blow Jenner's head off because he won't open the damn door.
Why does he have an axe, by the way?
I don't know.
I'm just asking a question here.
I like when we shoot computers and like nothing goes wrong. It's like, "I'm gonna shoot the command center." No effect. Good thing those weren't doing anything.
Okay. Well, for some odd reason, Jenner relents and says, "Okay, I'll open the first door so you guys can get out. But before we go, I'm going to bring up the secret again. Do we have any other ideas on the secret besides, Lori, your wife is pregnant, or Rick, you got infected yourself? Any other ideas?"
Mm-hmm.
I think those are two good ones, but...
And of course, if she's pregnant, who knows whose kid it really is?
Oh, it's Shane. Shane's the daddy.
He's got to be, yeah.
It's everyone's kid.
Or is it like, we invented this as a weapon? This was invented by America or something like that.
What, the kid is a weapon?
No, the zombie virus.
Oh.
That's what he's telling us. We made this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to guess because we're now falling victim to the stupid writing plots. I hate speculating.
I know.
Maybe he said everybody.
Translation all over again.
Maybe he said everybody but you is infected.
Oh.
That you hold your own mansion, thing.
Oh my god.
Okay, let me ask you this. Next scene is Jackie basically says, "I'm staying here. I don't want to go out and become zombified. I'd rather just stay here and be liquefied by the fire."
Why?
Can you tell me, would anybody actually do that?
No.
No? That's why. If you came this far, you wouldn't give up now.
No.
What? Tell me.
I thought she, even though we knew nothing about her, like we got no story at all about her, didn't she sort of think that she was romantically involved with Jim, the way that she broke up a lot over him getting bit?
Yeah, but she pretty much told on him. Oh, you're bit. But, you're bit.
Right.
Well, I just thought she was... She reached the end of her rope, but I thought that character was so thinly drawn that I did not care at all, and I had no emotion to her saying so.
Yeah, me either. You know what else I think? She had some other shit she had to do, and she was like, I can't do this show past this episode.
Right.
And they were like, all right, kill her.
Well, yeah, okay. that might work, but why would she go to the CDC and stop there, if not any other reason?
Well, she's right at the end, like, we didn't know anything about her, but she said something about God or being religious or something. So she probably just was like, oh, this is a way God is telling me he wants me to come to heaven. I don't have to commit suicide, so this bomb will just do it for me. It's God's will. So
I think how, Mr. Buzz.
How does, what part of the Centers for Disease and how is that a religion? The CDC is not a religion.
Oh, she said something like about being religious or something like that, didn't she?
Yeah, it said it could be viral, it could be a bacteria, it could be fungal. And then Jackie says, it could be the wrath of God. And then
yeah,
Jenner
exactly.
says, Jenner goes, you could be right on that one.
Oh,
so there's your little tip to her religious background.
That's
so then
grasping at straws.
I don't think her choice was justified by the writing at all. I think it was arbitrary. I think that's why we're grasping at straws. And I think it was just a contrast to show one woman stays behind and another woman leaves. But then I also thought kind of cheated, like, what? No one's willing to, you know, force this one lady, Jackie was her name, you know, to say, I'm going to stay unless you leave. What, was she not cute enough, not young enough? How come the blonde has someone
Black.
Who insists on staying and force her to leave? Yeah.
She was not white enough, okay?
I think so.
Uh-huh.
What was her relationship? Tell me what her relationship to T-Dog. Was it her brother? Was that her husband? What was that?
I have no clue.
Didn't even know they
have
knew
no
each
idea.
Other.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, they know each other?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay.
So we have 8 minutes now.
What's that?
8 minutes. We're 8 minutes from the end.
Okay.
y'all have your DVRs going, do you not?
Yes, exactly.
Come on.
Okay, so we have the big scene with Dale and Andrea. Andrea's like, I'm staying too. I just want to go out in a millisecond. And Dale's like, no. You can't do this. You're going to leave me. I'll do it myself. I'll stay here with you. Blah, blah, blah.
It will take 7 minutes to take my eyebrows out just by themselves.
I do think that guy is a good actor, though.
Oh, he is good. Yeah.
I think he's good. I know it was kind of a weak little moment here, but I like that guy.
At first, I thought both of them were actually going to stay behind, and I was really pissed at that freaking Andrea lady because I was.
You were
happy
about that?
I was like, what? That guy's going to die. I don't care if you die. Let him go, for Christ's sake. Save the show.
I knew they were going to leave because I know that Andrea is a big character in this storyline. So she's
thanks a lot. Oh, spoiler. Spoiler.
Hey, she becomes the lead character.
She's one of the main characters in this whole thing.
Shut up.
Okay, I'll shut up.
She doesn't seem like it so far, but whatever. I don't like her.
I like her blonde hair, though.
Oh, yeah.
Blonde hair, but she also is a kind of a crappy actor, and I wish it was somebody else.
Really? Those two are both Darabont actors.
Have you watched his beard has not changed. All these, his beard is the same.
He trims it. What are you talking about?
Oh,
he's got a trimmer.
Stop.
He's got a...
Stop right now.
Okay.
What about Rick's uniform? When he was standing in front of CDC, am I alone in thinking who ironed the uniform?
Terry. Terry likes Rick's uniform. Hello.
I'm questioning, what the hell? Is he the only one who didn't, you know, dust doesn't cling to him?
Yeah.
What's going on? So anyway, go ahead. It's along the line.
He is a Christ-like figure, and the wife beater's wife also ironed it, I believe. She was doing the laundry back at camp.
But whoa. In the Andrea shots, he's got his wedding ring in the frame. Did anyone notice that?
No.
No.
Well, his wife died. We heard the wife dying story in the last episode.
I don't care. His wedding ring is in the frame, and he's talking to her, trying to convince her to go. she won't go, so he, okay, he's going to stay there too.
Yeah. Is this relationship romantic, or is this like a father and son?
No, it's father-daughter.
Father-daughter.
Really?
Which, by the way, could also be romantic.
I thought it was romantic.
I think it's
going to... Stop laughing now. Now. Stop now.
Anything is possible. Civilization is over. They can.
That's what I was going to say.
We don't have to abide by those rules.
Right.
There is no such thing as marriage anymore.
Thank
they can do whatever
you.
They want.
Hello?
That's why zombie movies are cool. They do whatever the hell they want to do.
I would actually say it's not that it's a zombie movie, but that it's a post-apocalyptic movie. It doesn't matter if there's zombies or not. That's what makes the rules be different. Usually in a zombie movie, by now, either the zombies are taken care of or everyone's dead. That's what makes this real. It seems to me that it makes it different.
Terry wins again. Terry's got it. She's got it. Awesome.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you guys want to say about this grenade? I mean, this was my third hated thing in the movie. I'm like,
shut up.
Okay, well, we got to pull this grenade out of this. And it would be fun if they pulled the damn grenade out. What?
Yeah, if he would have just pulled it out, it would have been fine.
If he would have had it, the worst thing about it is this woman who comes out of nowhere says, I found it in your damn pants.
It's so stupid. Did he need to give her a line or something?
Different.
She found it in his pants, and she washed the pants and took the grenade out, okay?
And she's been carrying it in her purse.
How can we not follow this, okay?
These dudes have been counting their...
Why did
he... And during this whole ordeal, these guys have been counting their bullets, man. They know how many bullets they got left. They forgot about their grenade? The biggest bomb they got?
No. They did not forget. He forgot about the grenade. But he has had a lot on his mind. Hello, wife, child.
They robbed Rick of a hero moment. He could have whipped that thing out and been like, yeah. And I would have cheered. I would have stood up in my living room and cheered. Instead,
he's like, oh shit, as he runs away.
Yeah, terrible.
And then what about Shane's line? As she's starting to pull it out, what does he say?
What do you say?
No, he says, a nail file isn't going to help us, lady. That's what he said.
I didn't even hear that. What a fucking prick.
You were too busy puking over the dumb writing.
Okay, so that's it. Bombs blow up, pretty much a fake explosion. I didn't really like that. It was pretty CGI'd up. I hated it. And our team is off on the races, ready for season two. I can't wait. How about you guys?
I can wait.
We'll forget about it before it comes back around.
Yeah. This just reminded me why I don't enjoy TV.
You're an idiot. You're an idiot too. This is why television is good, because they haven't perfected this long form storytelling. Because they have these high points and low. In a movie, you know, it's a 2-hour shot. It's good or bad. I prefer a long form show.
Hey Bill, did you guys talk about? Hey Bill.
Yeah.
Did you guys talk about how they? He fired all the writers?
No, tell me about that.
Darabont fired the entire writing staff.
Nice.
Except
for Kirkman. In season two, they're everybody's speculating it's either going to be Darabont is just going to take total control of the show, or he's going to hire some heavy hitter writers to come in. And the speculation is that he himself was displeased about how the show ended. And that's why he fired everybody.
No, here's what really happened. Here's what I heard. That's a good point, but I heard it this way. That Darabont was going to, like, give the show over to this right-hand man, basically start off the new series and hand it off like they did in Lost, and he's going to go off and do his regular movies. But what really happened is this show has become the most popular cable television show ever.
Yeah.
Darabont ain't stupid. He's like, I'm staying with it. I'm going to ride this horse. F all you guys. You guys can stay on and be my underlings. And the secondhand writer quit said, fuck you, Darabont, I'm leaving, and took his team and left. That's what
we're doing. Oh, you think that's what it was? Yeah.
Okay. Bill?
Yeah.
Number one, regarding your whole read on episode 6,
yeah,
back off.
I'm with you.
Just way back off. Number two, they do not know going into this whether they will have another chance to finish what they're doing in season one. So everything has to be wrapped up a little bit more quickly, a little bit more succinctly than anyone would like. Than you would like, than I would like, than everyone performing this TV show would like. I'm okay with that as long as there is more coming in season two.
Are you trying to argue that there was some wrap-up in this? Because I don't really see it as anything.
I am arguing, yes, there was a wrap-up here. They moved within, like, 2 minutes from where they were to something exploding, and they're driving in a Winnebago and four other vehicles away from the CDC. I don't think they would have done that if they knew, if anyone knew that they were not going to, you know, end it there. They would have done something else.
Wait, you think
you have a point? I'm not sure if I understand it, but.
What?
Yeah, you have
why would you not understand it? It's perfectly legitimate. It's perfectly articulated. How could you not understand that point?
Wait, are you saying that if they had known there was going to be a season two, they would have stayed at the CDC longer and not blown it up?
I would say if they had known there was season two, I have one word for everyone on this call. Merle.
Yeah. Oh.
Merle. Okay, Merle was not referenced at the end of season one, and he should have been. Why? Because he has no hand.
It just leaves you wanting more, because I want some Merle in season two.
Things seem out of order, though. I mean, I think, not the hand point, but the point in Merle wasn't the, like, that should have been the sort of, you know, cliffhanger for this episode, maybe, is that he is chasing them. I don't know, something that's equally as exciting and conclusive to a season, but leaves you kind of expecting something more. That seemed like, I mean, I don't know, Merle in season two, I don't know that it'll make much sense.
Yeah, and I don't see the point of the CDC at all. Like, if the season would have ended at the end of episode 5 where the door is opening and it's like, oh, what's going to be in there?
Yeah.
Show it and be like, here it is. We got there. Oh, and by the way, it's going to
blow up. Yeah,
who knows what's going to happen? That was just like, I have no interest. It's basically a new story.
I got to tell you this. Even though the CDC handling and the blow up in the bit and all that is kind of sucky, I like our characters much better when they're out in the land of the zombies, not holed up in some bunker place where they're basically safe. And here's my other point. There's a direct correlation between the number of zombies in the episode and how much I like it. Because you know what? There were about three zombies in this one, although we did get to see a pretty cool decapitation moment at the very end.
Well, that was awesome.
As you
that
can remember, in episode 5, there was only one zombie, and this one had about three. And I hated them both. So there you go. Darabont, if you're listening, remember that. Just throw some zombies in, and you'll make a better show.
I bet he's listening.
I've heard people criticize the special effects, and I think they're awesome.
I'm not going to complain. I'm not even going to complain about the explosion. It's fine by me.
I don't mean the explosion. I mean like the zombie effects.
Oh, I know.
I think
the zombie effects are awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And don't you love the contest that they keep advertising, the Stumble On contest?
Yes.
That you get the chance to be a zombie, and you go through zombie school, and then you have not a walk-on role, but a stumble-on role. Now, how cool would that be?
Yeah.
I tried to find a bar in Chicago that watches the show, and I couldn't find one. Isn't that sad? Chicago is really bad in that way. They don't have, like, the geek cred that a lot of cities do.
You're saying this is not the bar that does the Project Runway watching doesn't do this one too?
I'm gonna recommend that to him. It would be the same type of clientele, I think.
Yeah, I think.
Well, I do think the zombie pub crawl is gonna be a lot more populated next fall than it was this fall. Yeah.
I know. Zombies are getting a little bit too hip, I would say.
But you want more.
I want more. I would admit it.
Your appetite is not quenched. Your thirst.
I'm sick of all this character development. Give me more zombies.
Is
it brain floating?
Is it a zombie pub crawl or a zombie pub shuffle?
It depends on what kind of zombie you are. Hey, okay. Terry had a great question. Let's end it with this. If happened today, the zombie world that we've seen in Walking Dead, meaning the zombies are kind of like not very strong or fast. If that happened today in Chicago to you tonight, it started, what would you do? What would be your first plan? Because I
run
have an idea.
Run for mayor.
Because you'd win. I actually stole this from another show that I was watching, and the question was, where would you hole up? What kind of structure would be the best one to be in?
Okay, can I tell you my answer?
Yeah.
Water.
Here's what I would do. Here's what I would do.
I'd go and live on the waters.
You would go to Lake Michigan?
Hell yeah, I would.
Island.
I would steal it.
Well, you do the boat thing, yeah.
The whole thing is too big.
But not,
there's
now
no more boats. There's no boats. All the boats are gone off Lake Michigan. It's cold. They're gone. There's no boat there.
There's not
can
a
you
boat.
Can you sail a boat? Do you know how to sail a boat?
Yeah, let's say it's summertime then. For fuck's sake.
Why can't I sail a boat now after the zombies?
The boats are gone. All the boats are all gone.
Why did they take the boat?
It's winter.
You're changing the rules, man.
It's winter, man. They're gone.
Yeah, right now.
You might find a rowboat out there, but I don't think you're making it to Michigan on that rowboat.
Okay, what would you do? Tell your plan.
Okay. First, I thought, well, there's two ways you can go. You can go for the food, or you could go for the fortification.
Hunt.
So I don't think that these zombies are particularly tough, so I'm not that worried about the fortification. You could basically hole up in a house if you wanted to. So I'm heading to my first thought was to get on a boat and sail to Michigan. But I think you gotta go somehow get to Indiana and go to like one of those Cabela's stores or go to one of those places. That way you got the camping food in there, you got the guns, ammo, crossbows, everything will be in there right for you. Just go to the Cabela's in Northwest Indiana. That's where I'm headed.
You'd get there and there'd be nothing there.
Have the best idea. Take the first flight to Hawaii.
You can't take a flight.
Money.
Best idea.
You're just gonna like get on the internet and book a flight.
Yeah.
Take a flight to Hawaii. No zombies getting to
you're
Hawaii.
Like, oh, when's the next flight? I don't know if I want.
Shoot it down. Brent's
like, I'm not sure if I want to take that flight to Hawaii. It's too expensive. I think I'll wait for the next flight.
Let's go see a movie while we wait. Get butter on that popcorn, jeez.
Well, the idea is that the virus spreads everywhere, so it's not like Hawaii is going to be any better. In fact, that would be maybe a bad choice. It's got to be a place where there's water. You have to have food, and you got to think beyond just the canned food.
Mm-hmm. Right. Where would you do? What's your plan?
Me? Terry. I would go out to the country. This whole show makes me realize what a citified fear zombie apocalypse is. If I live in North Dakota, how is any zombie going to get to me? I'm going to see that zombie from like 100 miles away down my driveway. I'll be like, oh, look, another zombie. He'll be here in like 2 days. He's got to walk 30 miles down my long-ass driveway because no one lives around here. I mean,
hey.
I just feel like zombies is all about people living in close quarters, and it's the disconnect of not being able to relate to people and not talk. That's the whole original zombie plan. And all this
okay.
zombie apocalypse leaves out all the... That's why Merle, all the rednecks are going to survive, because they have guns and they live far apart. They're safe.
Wasn't the first
guess
time?
Guess what, Freeman?
Not,
you don't have a car.
No.
You don't have a car, Zach. You can't go anywhere. Third problem is, once you do get a car, say you get in your Zip car and start driving away, do you not think there'll be a traffic jam? You ain't getting out of the city. You need to think about that.
I live in the city. I got to move back to the country just in case.
And you're not safe in North Dakota. I'll tell you why. Because they thought they were safe on the mountain, and they were not safe on the mountain. One zombie found them, and then a horde of zombies came.
They're making you safe. They're totally freaking out when they have their first little. Oh, we have 10 zombies here all of a sudden.
It's just the zombies are going to wander all over the place.
Time out. They were 2 miles north of Atlanta. That is not far away. 2 miles? I can walk that in 20 minutes. And Atlanta is a big city. They were not in the country, my friend. North Dakota is the middle of nowhere.
You're right. You're absolutely right. It wouldn't take them 2 days. It would take them 25 days, but they would still get through.
But, of course, the other part of the equation is not just the zombies. It's the post-civilization aspect. So you're up in the middle of nowhere. How are you going to get the food? How are you going to get the water? I mean, you've got to be...
I'm going to hunt some moose and do some fishing.
Hunt a moose.
But Terry,
yes?
You've forgotten that North Dakota's post-civilization already. Even without zombies, they're already there.
I think I would go to Alaska. I think that's where I would.
How are you gonna get there, Mister?
Motorcycle.
Why did you pick the coldest place to go to? Where
Sarah Palin is there, and I would go hole up with her.
This is where you really regretted not pursuing your dreams of being like a bazillionaire, and you could just be like, fucking take me on my jet right now.
Yeah.
Where I want to go.
Hop in your jet copter. Get the fuck out of Dodge.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you guys want to wrap this up? Because
wrap it up.
So mad. I'm so mad and also so exhilarated.
You know, the only good thing about a bad show is talking to it about with other people. I do have to admit. You don't talk about movies
I'm not,
with other
are
people.
Are you ready to call this a bad show?
No!
Me? Yes, I am.
No,
because
I'm not.
Mark, I'm not either.
Yeah,
I'm not.
No, it's still going to come back.
No, it
still
won't.
Good.
This is the best it's going to be, so enjoy it while it lasts. Yeah. Next year it's going to be way worse, so.
I agree. We only had 2 good episodes in this season, but I'm still going to come back.
All right. That's the problem with
coming
back.
Yeah, well, and
what do you say, Terry?
Yeah.
What do you say,
Terry? I'm happy that there's going to be different writers. But does anyone know who wrote the first episode?
Darabont.
Okay, well, then if we've got him.
And the other good episode is by Kirkman. And that's who they got left.
Okay, well, then I think there's hope. So I'm looking forward to it next year now.
Yeah. I think there's still hope.
Of course, there's hope as long as Kirkman is alive.
or undead.
All right, you guys. Thanks for doing this. We need to come up with another show for our hiatus, but think about it.
Mm.
Is there any good shows?
I'm going to throw out a suggestion.
Yeah.
Boardwalk Empire.
Over.
That good?
I have all ready to go.
It's all done.
But I didn't watch any of them.
Well, that's you. That's not us.
You watched them all?
Yes.
You
all
did?
All finished. Well, all 12, all done.
Michael Shannon is in that.
You're not invited.
And Michael Shannon is brilliant in that show.
He's from Chicago.
As is Steve Buscemi, also brilliant.
Yeah.
There's like four.
Well, we need one that we all haven't watched. So maybe we'll watch. Isn't season 3 of V coming out?
Ooh,
oh, don't make us watch V. What about the werewolf movie that you were talking about?
I know, but that is not until February.
Oh.
Anyway, Zach, we're finding that werewolf
movie. The main chick is from Serenity, right?
Yeah.
No, that's she's from Lost, isn't it? Is that what you're talking about?
No, she was the courtesan in Serenity.
Thank you. Well done.
We should all watch. I think we should just get Firefly and watch that whole first season.
We should start talking about the Oscars too at some point.
Mustache and get ready for that.
All right, I'm hanging up. Thanks a lot for doing this. It was fun.
That sounds like a future podcast. Okay.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Good night,
guys. Bye bye.
Good night.